We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky coming to you from my office upstairs in the famous town of New Athens, Illinois, the home of Hall of Famer Whitey Herzog. As baseball season has started, spring training is going on, so I just thought I'd throw in that. Whitey Herzog's
wow.
hometown right here, Matt.
You
can come down and see his memorial field. We have the whole Whitey Herzog tour, but maybe now's not the time to talk about that.
Yeah, did he still get his hair cut there for a while, John? I hear
The longest time he did.
Then
no one was coming here to get their hair cut, so they asked him to go get his hair cut somewhere else.
Oh, poor Whitey. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, you know, at a point, Whitey's style was very popular, but not so much anymore.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the butch cut or whatever they used to call those, the crew cut.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that is hard to top, John. Boy, I'm Pastor Matt Clark here just in St. Louis.
Yeah, just the gateway of the United States.
There you go, the gateway to the West and actually where Busch Stadium is located. So, yes, it is baseball fever around here, a big baseball town, of course, as spring training gets underway. Serving as a pastor at Ascension Lutheran in the St. Louis Hills neighborhood and coming to you from my office here at church.
And if people haven't figured it out already, because I don't think you would hear anything like this anywhere else on KFUO, this is, what is this? Wrestling with the Basics. Yep, the old age is starting to set in. Can't even remember what show we're doing anymore.
It's all right, John. So, that's what I'm here for. I'll remind you. Don't worry.
That's right. That's how we have Matt Youngblood Clark, almost a Dr. Clark, here on Wrestling with the Basics. So I want to actually do, as long as we're doing kind of odd things, I want to go back to a story that probably most of our listeners heard a month ago, probably. But we didn't get a chance to talk to it about it on Wrestling with the Basics. And I really feel like we need to talk to it because it's the Transfiguration. Did you guys talk about the Transfiguration?
We most certainly did. You know, I feel like the Transfiguration is one of those festivals that's oftentimes overlooked. And I'm probably guilty of it too. It's, you're starting to focus, you know, gearing up for Lent. Lent's almost here, but yeah, we have the Transfiguration. And when we gather for worship, and if your church uses, you know, paraments and those liturgical colors like we do, usually they're white or gold because it's a festival. And I went out to our Saturday night service, John, and I come out with a green stole on because we have been green for so long.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the paraments on the altar are white and changed because our altar guild is on top of things. Unlike me as pastor sometimes. We did our opening during the opening hymn, I noticed. And so I went back to the sacristy and changed my stole but into white. So then I matched the altar. But my point is sometimes this festival, which is important, can be overlooked, sadly. And sometimes it's even a pastor like me who does it. I knew it was Transfiguration, but yeah, I didn't have the white stole on. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to this, John, you know, to highlight why the Transfiguration is important.
So just a couple of quick things since you brought up. First of all, this is why my altar guild always dressed me. They did not trust me at any point in time. Maybe sometimes in summer where it's all green all the time. But, yeah, they would use, Pastor, we'll dress you. Don't worry about that.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, so you might look into that. Save you
well,
from
thanks,
those embarrassing
John.
Moments.
And you and I were
Go ahead.
We were joking before the show, you know, that sometimes when you have a Saturday evening service like we both do, that's almost a dress rehearsal. And so, yeah, thankful for that Saturday service, work out all the kinks, and then have the right soul on come Sunday morning.
Get ready.
But, yeah, the altar guild. We'll have to run that past our altar guild, see if someone's willing to dress me before.
Make sure that you got the right garments on. The thing that I wanted to talk about, the transfiguration, though, it's not just because of the transfiguration, although I'm thinking, you know, the reason is we don't have any transfiguration cards. You can't go to Hallmark and get transfiguration cards. We need a beloved transfiguration figure like the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus. So if anyone's listening out there, that's something for you to work on, Hallmark. Because, you know, all that stuff, that's all been from the card companies. That's why we have Santa Claus and why we have Easter bunnies. There's no real tradition behind any of that stuff. That's all.
You mean it's about money, John?
It's all about money.
I'm shocked.
Because we've already got the Holy Pentecost covered, because we've got the Sparky, the Holy Cross pigeon. We've got that. No one's picked up on that, though, I guess, because we've got the
oddly enough, you know, I can't figure it out.
So I'm sorry. We promised we wouldn't be foolish, but I guess it's just too hard for us. I want to talk about transfiguration, not so much for the event, but because I think Peter gets a bad deal on the transfiguration. Have you got your Bible handy? Have you got it open there?
Always, John.
All right.
Always.
I just want you to read one verse from the Transfiguration.
You bet.
And every commentary I read, I mean, they don't out and out laugh at Peter, but you definitely get the impression that they're kind of chuckling under their breath when they comment on this particular verse. It's verse 5, if you can read it for us.
Here on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.
And everyone talks about how foolish it is for Peter to say this, just another one of those dumb things that Peter says all the time. And I want people to think about it. I don't think what he said was foolish at all. In fact, I think probably any one of us might have said something like that. In fact, it makes perfect sense that he would want to stay up there on the mountaintop. And let me explain why. We are going to focus on the Gospel of Mark, because Mark has all kinds of unique details in the Transfiguration, which is surprising because he's such a short gospel. You think he wouldn't have any special details, but he has several in the story of the Transfiguration. So if you wouldn't mind going back and reading verses 2 and 3, and I'll explain to you why I think it was perfectly normal for Peter to say, I'd like to stay up here.
Okay. But, you know, too, because Mark is so short, if Mark includes details that's not in the other Gospels, I think it's worth taking notice of, right? This short abbreviated Gospel, if it has a detail that's not in the others, well, maybe it's pretty important, at least to Mark, and for him to be able to include that. So,
I agree with you completely. Sure. So that makes it extra special then, doesn't it? If he says something that other people don't. I'll share you with it what it is. Read verse 2 and 3.
Okay, here we go. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them.
So a lot of that, everyone says, they talk about the after 6 days, going up on the mountain, the transfiguration. But Mark is the only one that has this description, as no one on earth could bleach them. That's his unique addition. And I think what Mark is reminding us is this is a heavenly vision. What they saw that day could not be duplicated on earth. Nobody on earth could have made that kind of brightness, whiteness, and glory. This is a heavenly vision. And I'm thinking, if we were in heaven, wouldn't we want to stay in heaven?
Yeah.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. If you have this glimpse of heaven, this glimpse of glory, focus on Jesus. Why not prolong that, right? That would probably be your inclination too.
I'm not asking God to do this anytime soon, okay? Although now that I'm 71, I've just celebrated my birthday, so I know it's getting closer. I'm a year closer, but not today, Lord. But when he takes me there, I don't think I'm going to say, dang, I want to go back and no, I don't think I'll say that. I think I'll be perfectly happy to be in heaven when I get there. So here's the thing. I realized that people always ask me, what's heaven like? And I'm thinking, well, actually, we get some idea of what heaven is like from this picture. Now, I'm just going to throw this at you from just this little vision we have. Well, the rest of the story, too, where they're talking with Moses and Elijah and all that stuff. What does that kind of tell you about heaven? Any thoughts, Matt?
Well, Jesus is there. Yeah, I think that's the main thing. I always
that's the main thing.
What if, you know, the focus is, you know, not only is he there, but he's the main focus, right? So that is the focus. He's the one that is transfigured. His clothes are the ones that are radiant. And then not only that, but also that voice from heaven is focused on Jesus, right? The Father's voice really doesn't talk about Moses or Elijah, as important as they are, but it talks about Jesus. You know, this is my son. So the focus on Jesus, and I just always think if Jesus wasn't there, well, then it won't really be heaven, no matter how good it is. If our Savior's not there, it ain't heaven.
And that's an important thing to remember, that what really makes heaven such a great place to be is there we will behold Jesus in his flesh and blood. And I mean, all these things that we deal with today, the doubts and the questions we have, they'll all be gone because we'll see perfectly that God indeed is a God who loves us so much that he would give his life up for us. So you're right. That's one of the cool things. That is the cool thing about heaven. But I was also thinking about some of the details here because people ask details like, they ask, will we recognize people in heaven? And it dawned on me, well, apparently we will. Because the disciples know that this is Moses and Elijah, and they've never even met Moses and Elijah. So I'm thinking if we're recognizing saints from the Old Testament, then probably we'll recognize our husbands and wives, our friends, our family, our children. Why wouldn't we? Why, if we can recognize these great saints, why wouldn't we recognize the people that we know and love? In fact, that's the other thing that struck me. So heaven's not going to be populated with angels and with ghosts. Apparently not. It's flesh and blood people. You know, that's what we got here. We got Moses and Elijah. There they are, flesh and blood. And then the other thought I had was that what is the most common picture of heaven? What's the image that is used over and over again? The one thing we do know we will be doing in heaven, because I don't know whether I'm going to be playing tennis in heaven or not. But what's the image that's always used for heaven, Matt?
So with this image of worship and praise and Hosanna and all focused again on Christ.
Oh, so you pastors, you pastors always go to the worships and the Hosannas and stuff like that. For me, now that I'm retired, see, the image is eaten, Matt. That's what the image
feasting.
Is,
okay,
right?
All right.
It's a feast. It's a
Fair
banquet.
Enough.
All right, yeah, worshiping and praising God. Yeah, you guys get paid to do that. That's the problem, Matt. You know, you and I are discussing this, and that's the problem. We don't really have an absolute clear picture of what heaven's like. And I wonder if that isn't because if we did, we'd all want to just jump off the Golden Gate Bridge and get to heaven as quick as we could. But it did tickle me that the picture often is eating. And so there you go. What do we like to do? We like to get together with our friends. We like to eat. We like to talk. That's what they're doing here in this heavenly picture. They're talking to each other. So why wouldn't he say it is good to be here? Of course it's good to be in heaven. Why wouldn't he want to stay there? However, here is the other detail that Mark gives us that's striking. Could you read verse 6?
You bet. For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified.
Yeah, see, that's a unique detail. Mark tells us that as much as he wanted to stay there, he was terrified, along with all the rest of the disciples. Isn't that a strange thing? So I like it here. It's good to be here, but I'm scared. All right, Matt, again, I've had the chance to work over this, but any thoughts off the top of your head? Why would he be terrified?
Well, I mean, I think one thing that comes to mind is anytime that there's a sort of a glimpse of heaven, we think of perhaps the angels, right? People are terrified, right? There's always that word, don't be afraid, right? Peace be with you. And here, perhaps even more so, it's not just an angel. This is Jesus, right? And his clothes are white. And this is the glimpse of heaven. And perhaps it's that getting that glimpse of glory can be terrifying for someone who's a poor, sinful being like Peter and like us. So maybe that's part of it. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. No, continue, because I agree with what you're saying there.
Okay.
Certainly one of the biggest problems is that it's the holiness, it's the perfection, it's the purity that you will find in heaven. And certainly that's the other thing that Mark is emphasizing, because you got this cloud. And Matt, you know, in the Old Testament, when the cloud shows up, that means the holy, divine, almighty God has shown up, right?
Yeah.
The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, it says in Exodus. Later on in Exodus, the glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it, so he's there on Mount Sinai. When they have the tabernacle, a pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance to the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses, another passage from Exodus. And then, of course, when they build the temple, when Solomon builds the temple, we're told, and when the priest came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord. If that ain't enough for you, Exodus 16:10 says, "Behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." So I agree with you completely. He's scared because he's coming to the... Remember what Peter did earlier when he saw the miraculous catch of fish? He said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." Yeah. Well, you can imagine how he feels now in the presence of the Almighty God himself. But go ahead. What else were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, too, you know, there's this conversation between Jesus and Moses and Elijah, and we don't know what that conversation was, but verse 4, they're talking together, and, you know, could they be talking about what's going to happen next, about Jesus going to Jerusalem and his suffering and his dying? And if they are, and if Peter can listen in on that, we already kind of know what Peter thinks about Jesus dying on the cross and suffering. Peter doesn't like that idea, remember? Surely not, Lord. Could that terrify him? If he was able to listen in on what's about to take place in Jesus' passion and dying.
So, in one of the other gospels, that this is not in Mark, but I don't remember what the other gospel is. I'm sorry. Now, my wife Lynn probably could, but she's not here. It does say they were talking about his exodus.
Yeah.
His exodus.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which would be exactly what you just described, his exodus from this life. And you're absolutely right. Everything you're talking about there, Matt, is what happens right before the transfiguration. I don't know if people realize what it says after 6 days. That's the context, because Jesus has just said this to them. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. So, yeah, you and I are right on the same page. That's why he's terrified. He's terrified because he can't really stay there in the holiness of God, but he don't particularly want to go back down the mountain either, because he knows it's not going to be, it's not going to be the happy days that it was before, where you got up and Jesus gives a blind man sight and he feeds 5,000 people. He knows that it's going to be something really, really, because, you know, Jesus said that too. He said, "Take up your cross, Peter, and follow me." So anyway, but now here's the solution to this. Okay. Because that's the problem we have. We're sinful people. We probably wouldn't fit into heaven if we got there. It'd be really scary for us if we were getting up to the glory of heaven. And yet being here isn't always the best thing either. There's all kinds of struggles and trials. But here's the one more unique thing about the Gospel of Mark. Everyone else gives us a rather lengthy description of what God said to them there on the mountaintop. On the other hand, Mark keeps it short and sweet. If you could read verse 7.
Yeah. And a cloud overshadowed them. And there's that cloud you were talking about, John. And a voice came out of the cloud. "This is my beloved son. Listen to him."
And like I say, the other gospel writers, they have more information. You can go read them on your own. We can't do everything for you here on Wrestling with the Basics. but Mark keeps it short and simple. "This is my beloved son." If you had any doubt about that, this is the guy. And what are we supposed to do?
Listen to him.
Yeah, that's all you need to do. And so what does that mean to us? What does that mean to us? That's the only thing God says, really, here's the key fundamental thing for those of you who are terrified, whether it be because of the sins that you have, whether it be because of the struggles we have in this world, the crosses we have to bear. What does that mean to us, Matt, that all we need to do is just listen to him?
Yeah, because, I mean, there's so many other voices in our world, right? Yeah. They're telling us all sorts of different messages, increasing that anxiety in our own, listening to our own hearts and our own anxious hearts, our own sinful hearts, you know, instead listen to him. And where do we hear Jesus speak? Well, we don't hear him as directly, perhaps, as Peter does, right? You know, right out of his mouth, but in the word, you know, listen to him. We have the words of the Lord right here. They're printed in red, even in my Bible, John. Uh-huh. I can see Jesus' words in red. I can listen to them. But then to hear those words too, I would add in worship, to know that, oh, wow, these words of the Lord, these words of Christ are meant for me. And to be able to hear that in my own ears for myself, that's where we listen to him today.
And the thing is, and again, I love our Lutheran way of worship, because usually the very first thing we do is you as a pastor get up and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all your sins are forgiven. Because, you know, if you're terrified in the presence of the glory of God, as Peter was, what else can you tell him except what Jesus says? You know, your sins are forgiven. That's why I'm going down off of this mountaintop. You think you want to stay up here, Peter? I would love to stay up here.
Yeah.
Because I know what's going to happen to me when I come down from this mountaintop. But no, I'm going to do that so that all your sins will be paid for and forgiven. So as you mentioned earlier, Matt, every time people are frightened, what is it that the Bible says over and over again?
Fear not.
Yeah. And so the Bible can say that. The angels can say that. Jesus can say that. You and I can say that, because there is no reason to fear. There's nothing for us to do. Christ has taken care of all of our sins. There's not a thing we've done wrong that hasn't been paid for by the cross of Jesus Christ. So that's all done. That's all taken care of. There's no reason for us to fear anymore. And then, of course, see, that's what's great about this Lord's Supper. Again, just listen to the Lord's Supper. Listen to him, because he says, this is my body given for you, my blood shed for you. I just hope people understand that. I hope people don't go to church because they think, well, this is some good thing I have to do for God. But they go to church realizing, okay, this is God giving me one more reason not to be frightened of the future, not to be frightened of the present, not to be frightened of anything, because I have this total and complete forgiveness in Jesus Christ. There is another thing that I think it's interesting. I'd like you to read one more verse, because, okay, we're supposed to listen to Jesus. So let's listen to the very first word that Jesus speaks to the people, to the disciples, to Peter as they come down the mountain. So this is Mark 9, verse 9.
Okay, and as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead might mean. And they asked him, why did the scribes say that first Elijah must come? And he said to them,
that's enough. That's enough. Okay. Because now they're talking to him, but I just wanted to focus on what Jesus said to them. And so what's the interesting thing that Jesus says to them? They don't really get it at that moment, but I think it's something we should all probably be listening to. What's he say to them?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is something unique in Mark, too. In Mark, we see this quite a few times. He charged them not to tell anyone about what they had seen. Right. And we see that in other places in Mark, too. But specifically, Jesus adds this time, don't tell anyone until the Son of Man had risen from the dead.
Which means the Son of Man is going to do what?
He's going to die.
And he's going
He's going to come back to life.
Yeah,
rise from the dead.
Yeah. So it occurred to me. That right there, the very first thing he says to them, but they don't catch it. They don't catch it. But here's the fundamentals. I am going to die, and that's not a bad thing, because I'm going to rise again. And that's what he would say to us. We are going to die. That's going to happen. We're all sinners. No doubt about it. No way to avoid it. You know, at your age, you're probably thinking you might, but wait till you get to be 71 and you realize, yeah, if we could put it off for 20 years, that might be good, but I'm not going to be able to avoid it. That's for sure. But it's okay, because there will be a resurrection of the dead for me too, because that's what the Bible says. If we've been baptized with him, and we'll die with him, and we'll rise with him. We'll do both of those things. So there's the answer to your terrors. And then the other thought I had too, in terms of the answer to our terrors, is Jesus goes down the mountain with them, doesn't he?
Yeah.
As they were coming down the mountain. I was thinking about that. Yeah. So he doesn't say, well, I'm going to stay up here. You go down there. No. And that's the same way with us. He's with us wherever we're at. If we're on the mountaintop of joy and happiness, I got a birthday party coming up this weekend. I hope that'll be a time of blessing. But then again, I just got through talking to a surgeon about having surgery done, so I'm not too crazy about that. But either way, I know Jesus will be with me.
Yeah. Amen to that. Yeah. And I think too about, going back to worship, I really like that point that you made about worshiping and coming into God's presence. And, that's a mountaintop experience, even worship. Yeah. You know, we talk about it's a foretaste of the feast to come, and with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we're there, you know, at the Lord's Supper. But as you just pointed out too, even when we come down off that mountain, even when the divine service is ended and we depart, Jesus is still with us. That's his promise, right? No matter where we are, no matter where we go, with us to the end of the age. But worship becomes sort of that hub for us, right? Everything else radiates out from that the rest of our life, strengthened, sustained, forgiven, and then empowered to go out knowing that the Lord is with me. As I live my life in love for my neighbor, as I share Christ with others, the Lord is with me. And come what may, during the course of the next week, Jesus is with me, just as he came down from that mountain with the disciples and was with them.
So here's the only thing wrong about what Peter said, because I think he was absolutely right to want to be there. It's a good to be there. The only thing wrong he said is, let's build three tents. No, Peter, we don't need tents, because tents is something you put up because you know the next day you're going to have to move someplace else, right? Tents are always temporary, because here's what we're going to have. We're going to have a mansion. Isn't that what Jesus said? I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house, for there are many, many mansions. So let's just remember that. This stuff we're talking about, this presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, this forgiveness of sins, this eventual eternal life in heaven with the Lord Jesus, that's all a permanent, lasting thing. So let's all say, yeah, we would love to be there, Lord. We're glad you're with us here. And we're glad to know when we get there, it'll be permanent. This has been Wrestling with the Basic.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.